Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio, the Liverpool podcast from the Red Men TV. I am Paul Machin and I'm joined by Chris Pajak.
Hello!
Hi. The kickoff question comes from winner at loser _70. Chris, if your bird will definitely cheat on you with a current LFC player, which one will hurt less?
Van Dijk.
Okay, that's the correct answer. Okay, Chad, I was trying to work out the reasoning behind stuff, and maybe Van Dijk isn't the right answer. If you let me expand on this, is do you go with someone who's just an incredible specimen and know that you're never going to match up to them again for the rest of your life, or go for someone who you know you're probably miles better than, but you have to live with the fact that someone you know that you're miles better than got to be where you go?
Thinking more that she'll be in pain as well.
Oh, wow.
What have you done there?
Would you ever be able to look your wife in the eyes again, having known that Virgil, that she'd never feel the same again. Every time she looked at you, she'd just be like measuring you up to Virgil van Dijk. Could you live with that?
At least I know she had a good time.
Okay, sad. Yeah, because I was thinking about it. If you just went with like a Moreno or Jadon Shaqiri, I'm just going, all right, Sal, but I'm sure you had a boss time, but etc. I think the Virgil van Dijk is a pretty decent shout, because
the only other way I looked at it was like maybe someone like a Mo, and that's more from a fact of like, I know it wouldn't be Mo's fault, so I could still love him. She just hasn't told him that she's married. I think right. If Mo was to go with her.
Okay.
Whereas there's players in that squad who maybe would do it anyway, and I don't think Mo would, so I could still love Mo after the fact. I wouldn't love her, but I'd still love Mo.
Okay, brilliant. Listeners and viewers, let us know how you would respond to such a question. And if you're watching this on YouTube, show me you're working out in the comments. I don't just want to see your answer. I don't just want to have people to put Salah. I want to see your reasoning behind it as well, because as we've clearly seen where the real fun lies in this question. Anyway, let's get to some news in brief before we tuck into Napoli and a bit on Man City as well. Steven Gerrard has been talking about this team, Chris, and he thinks that the only weakness this team has is experience, which follows up with a question that Richard Van Davies asked us on Twitter. Is do we still have any weakness left in this team? Is there anywhere we could still improve? I think the experience thing has been at Liverpool's fault for ever, pretty much.
I'm not sure. It depends what he's talking about, because you can take experience as meaning important games and all that type of stuff, but I think really
in regards to winning the title in this regard,
then I think the only thing missing is the experience of winning the title.
Yeah.
They're all experienced players, aren't they? They've all gone to World Cups, they've all gone to a Champions League final, give or take a few of them. So they're experienced players, but they're not experienced winners.
Yeah.
And that's right now the only thing that's missing. Hopefully it won't be next season.
Mm.
But it's going to be difficult. It's very difficult to assemble a squad in the manner in which Liverpool have, by buying league winners from other clubs. Yeah. You know what I mean? There's not many people who are in a position to be able to do that.
Well, yeah, it's funnily enough, the league winners that end up for sale end up at Everton, or they end up at you know, West Ham's, you know, Lawrence Lafferty out of the car, but, you know, it's like the Phil Neville's and the Johnny Evans's, et cetera, et cetera, this world. They've got league winners' medals, and they actually, you know, added things to those teams. But if you're good enough to play for a title winning side, you either stay at that title winning side or you go to, unfortunately, Real Madrid, Barcelona, et cetera, et cetera. But I think this is it, isn't it? And this is where we haven't seen how Chelsea performed at the weekend. It's made me more, less firm in my, like, absolutely steadfast think that the Liverpool are going to win the league this season, because you look at Man City and you look at Chelsea and they've got phenomenal quality, but they've also been here before. They've done it before. And not just like, not like we've got James Milner.
Hmm.
You know, you're probably talking eight, well, in Man City's team, almost their entire starting 11. Chelsea's, you're probably talking eight of their starting 11, maybe more, have won the Premier League before. So, yeah.
It's not something that you'd exclusively need, though, is it? I mean, was Huth the only person in that Leicester side that had won the league prior to them winning the league? You know, sometimes it depends what drives a group and drives individuals, doesn't it? I think to the NFL, and I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, won the Super Bowl for the first time last year. Hardly any winners in there. Hardly any people that have gone and done it before.
Is it different with NFL though? Because you're basically starting from scratch, aren't you? Year on year.
I don't think it's too different. There's probably more rotation than there is in a Premier League squad, but ultimately there's also 53 guys in one of their squads. So, and you've got the hangover of they've never won a Super Bowl before in Philadelphia, which for a massive market is something that we'd be saying exactly the same as Liverpool. You know, the years count. The years add up and it makes it more and more difficult each time. So sport, on every level, there are people who do that. Roger Federer won a Grand Slam for the first time. Until then, he hadn't had the experience, but he goes on to be the best one that's ever lived.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, it's give and take.
It's an excuse until it's not a reason anymore, isn't it, I guess? But it's telling, it's getting to Richard's question on that. We got asked a couple of questions along these lines as well. This is the one I opted to go with. And looking ahead to like January, it's the first season in time immemorium, and this might change by injuries and what have you, but I'm not even asked about the January transfer window. I'm not thinking about it in any way, shape or form, because I don't think there's anything pressing that we need to do in terms of business. There might be a case made, you can make a case for things. There's only one thing I think that the only weakness this team has still, and it's not really a weakness, but it's something that Man City have that we don't. And I think it's one more player for the front three. It's that. And I'd said it all summer in terms of my ideal transfer business. It's that 18, 19, 20-year-old. And you just look at what Sane and Bernardo Silva have become for Man City. Got blooded in. Sane took to it a bit quicker than Silva did, maybe. But now, a season on, they're reaping the benefits of Bernardo Silva, who's been probably one of their best players of the season. We haven't quite got that lad yet. Maybe it'll be Brewster, but...
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I would actually think more the midfield's the area for me. If I had to pick one, I think if I pick two, I'm certainly picking a player like that as well. I think, you know, we've proven last season that those three lads are really durable at the top end of the pitch. And you don't want to risk that. You don't want to, you know, hope that that's always going to be the case. But for me, I look at the midfield three, and maybe this will change if Fabinho starts to play games and Naby Keita starts to start games again. But right now, I'm looking at it and going, there's so much running in that middle three that I would almost like to be able to change the three for Napoli and then change the three again for City at the weekend. And I've felt like that the last two games, where I've not really felt like we need to change the front three yet. I'd probably preference an attacking midfielder, because Keita will be this player and can be this player, but we're still missing the Ox. And I think we're missing the Ox more than most people are actually thinking about it.
Yeah. No, I think it is a very interesting point. I guess you're right. Is that the glaring thing from our transfer business was simply not replacing the Nabil Fekir targets until we see more of Shaqiri in there. But then again, much like the Oxlade-Chamberlain thing was last season, we all presumed Chamberlain was going to be a backup for the front three, and he makes himself a space in Liverpool's midfield. But then we didn't have anyone to cover the front three if he's then playing in that game. So, yeah, no, interesting point. Alisson apparently cried about leaving Rome. There's some interesting comments on this, but
I didn't. I was dead happy leaving Rome last year.
yeah. happy and intact.
It was great. Good times. We had a Champions League final to look forward to. We just somehow got a result in row. I was really, really happy to leave.
Yeah, I hadn't
been stabbed either.
No, which was always a bonus. Alisson's interview, he talks about this stuff that you can see, you get a measure of this guy, you know, this guy, you know, the monster of the man that plays guitar. I love this expression. He says, "With my mind, I decided to go to Liverpool, but my heart was still full of tears." Can you imagine if, like, an English footballer said that? What would your response be? Ah, your heart's full of tears, is it? Oh, your little heart full of tears. Whereas I'm like, feeling you, Alisson.
He's a mad man, is our goalkeeper. Do you know what I mean?
He might be the best man. The best of
what
the
would
men.
He be now? A homo sapien or something? What are we up to nowadays? It's hard to keep count.
I don't know. Well, if he was like the X-Men, he's homo superior. He's probably close to getting towards that. I'd give him that one. He's basically a mutant, but in the best possible way. But anyway, what was interesting as well, Chris, is that he said, I did like this as well. So many times I went for a walk around the city, the Trevi Fountain, in the dark. It's so beautiful, it moves you. But my favourite place is the Colosseum. There, you breathe history. We've got some history in Liverpool. I mean, I'm sure the Albert Dock will be fine for him.
Yeah, the old Birkenhead Tunnel.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say you're breathing history, more car fumes.
Carbon monoxide. breathe in leaded petrol.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Whatever happened to catalytic converters?
Well, they just didn't need them anymore, did they? Because everyone went to unleaded.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So, he's like the smell of them.
Whatever happened to 4-star petrol? That's what.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah. We got a 5th European Cup, and then they just went, "Well, we're not selling this in Liverpool."
Forget this. Not
they still
enough.
Sell it everywhere else.
Not good enough. He did say though, when the clubs agreed a deal, Jürgen Klopp gave me some calls on FaceTime and explained his project and what we would do together. I've admired him since his days at Dortmund. I like being coached by him because he does not talk a lot, but he always knows what to say and how to do it. He's an intelligent man with great character. I love the fact that this is just another chapter in the long story of Jürgen Klopp convincing players. I like the fact that technology has improved and it's just basically given Klopp an even greater reach, greater power. It's like when a supervillain takes over the airwaves to manipulate the population. Jürgen Klopp can basically is not too far removed from that. That'll be an app one day and he'll have his pick of every player on the planet.
That's Bosch. That's quality. I can imagine him utilising that WhatsApp group with his Dortmund side on like the anniversary, or just FaceTime all of them at once on WhatsApp or something, and just have a little chat, see what they're up to. And
absolutely.
He's a pretty good guy, is our boss.
Take That will be the first band to play at Anfield under the new license.
They've missed a trick there. Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
They've missed a trick big time.
Yeah. Gary Barlow.
The first comment on that was the best, wasn't it, from Scousemar?
Was that the first comment?
The first comment, as I saw it anyway, yeah. I'll try and get it up now. It was an absolute belter. Let's see.
In a nutshell, though.
I'd rather cheese grate me flaps than see that Tory sun loving tax dodging gimp and his mates soz.
I think
nailed that one, didn't
I? Think because this is an ongoing thing, and we know it's only like a temporary agreement they've got in place to allow live events at Anfield. I can't help but feel that Joe Anderson's probably a massive Take That fan, isn't it?
Oh yeah,
he must be.
Oh.
Big Mayor Joe, old Bisto tits himself is like.
You can't give him fucking Allardyce's title.
Oh no, I think that's
Allardyce's title.
I'm pretty sure they got it off Big Joe. The But yeah, anyway. Aaron Ramsey's been linked with us again. Ethan at Officially Cold. What do you think about Aaron Ramsey possibly joining Liverpool?
I wouldn't be too bothered. He's a player that I've always liked, you know what I mean? He's a good footballer and he's one of those where you can imagine after fan base liking it and after fan base screaming at Twitter and just going mental about it, but ultimately comes in, he starts to do well under Jürgen Klopp because he's given a new lease of life and you go, wow, it's a great signing.
Yeah, I agree. He's one of those players that he's dead good. And if you think about him at those peak seasons he had, and obviously he's had loads of injury problems, which is a familiar tale at Arsenal, but he was scoring double figures goals from midfield, and we do still lack that in our midfield very much. And we keep going on about this, like James Milner's not eternal. And I'm not saying Aaron Ramsey could be exactly a James Milner replacement or whatever, but still got years on his side. He hasn't quite hit the peak of his powers. If his mentality hasn't been ruined by too many years at Arsenal, because we did fear that with Oxlade-Chamberlain, and we probably got him just about young enough to have a real positive impact on him. Yeah, I think he'd be sound. And there's talk, I think his contract's up at the end of the season as well. Like, so I wouldn't mind us making it. You know, if we made a move for him in January and got him on the cheap,
10, 15 exactly, million, something like
or
that.
Or if you wait till the summer, you could do a lot worse.
Rabiot's rejected a third contract offer at PSG as well. Mm. Someone we're rumoured to be interested in. So actually, funny, I haven't just realised this, but we're rumoured to be in for two midfielders again, which tells you all you sort of need to know, doesn't it, about what maybe Jürgen Klopp's plans
yeah,
are.
Yeah, always in motion, aren't we?
You never really get the value on the strikers in the January window or anything anyway, do you? If you were to look for someone like that, it's not very often. I mean, Suarez was one of them, wasn't he? But other than that, I can't think of too many.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a decent record of picking up forwards in January over the years, but it's more, yeah, you're right. You're not going to, where we're at right now is you're not buying someone for the first team in that front three, and you don't need to, so you can afford to take your time and get it right. Make sure unequivocally that the lads you've got at the club are not it to the best of your ability, and then go and look elsewhere.
And of course, Brewster, as you mentioned before, will probably be back in training by then.
Yeah. And we talked a bit about Sessegnon. He's not exactly, you know, he's not set the Premier League alight just yet, but he's still a young lad, still finding his feet at this level. It's kind of tearing my head a bit when you see the likes of Jadon Sancho tearing it up in the Bundesliga, and you think there's probably still be someone out there who fits that kind of profile. More on transfers and more on Liverpool news on the Reds News Roundup show this week with Mr. Steve Hall, whose cup I am currently drinking tea out of. It says best daddy in the world, so just to clarify, it is a better fit with me than it is with him. But anyway, moving on, happily, I'm sorry, he's a perfectly fine dad. 8 years since we last played them away, Chris. The team, the pitch has been doing the rounds on social media, at least of all our Instagram. Reina, Kelly, Kara, Skirtle, Konchesky. Yeah. Spearing, Shelby, Pools and Jovanovic, Babel and Go.
I'm not sure it was the best side we've ever put out.
No. You know what? No, you are sure.
I know. Yeah.
Just because I'm certain, 100% certain, that's not the best team.
Did you see Kara's face in that picture that's been doing the rounds?
I put that out on Twitter. His face is incredible.
My word. He does not look happy. And nor would I be, to be fair.
It's kind of like those situations where someone you don't really like, but like there's maybe someone you've known from school or whatever and you never really liked, but there's no real reason for you to be a prick to them because you're not a prick. And they're like, oh, and the dead makes you with you. And you're just like, you just bristle. You see Jovanovic has got his arm around Carragher. Like, he's the boss. He's doing this like sort of, he's not quite crouched down, he's got this swooped eagle style thing going on, and Kara's just, you can just see like bristling going, this is just shit.
And
it was. Did you see what the bench was out of interest?
No, I didn't.
The bench was as follows: Brad Jones, Fabio Aurelio, Sotiris Kyriakos, Danny Wilson, Joe Cole, Maxi Rodriguez and Nathan Eccleston.
Wow. One decent player on that bench.
Maxi Rodriguez?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Not Aurelio. This was the second coming of Aurelio, of course.
No, it's the Aurelio that Konchesky was keeping out of the team, Paul. Which tells you all you need to know about the second coming of Fabio Aurelio.
Yeah,
isn't
absolutely.
It?
Yeah, we drew nil.
We were doing Red Men at this point, weren't we?
Yeah.
And because I remember slating Konchesky around this time, and then he walked into a Chinese restaurant that I was frequenting, and I shit myself in case he'd see me going absolutely mental at him,
less of an issue back in the day would
yeah,
be.
Yeah, I mean,
probably
you know, he wasn't one of the 312 people that watched the video. So,
oh, great days. It is a proof. If there's ever a lesson to be learned about life, is that when we started doing this, and look at us now, we're doing okay. Red Men's doing okay. It's a much bigger enterprise than it once was. Yeah, we had to do this in the Roy Hodgson days. Never forget that. Still a highly recommended video was us deciding the future of Roy Hodgson by a game of Mortal Kombat 2.
Oh yeah, that was boss.
I did enjoy that.
They were fun times.
They were very fun times.
Loads more just titting about. It was great.
Yeah, I mean, we do it but in very different ways this time. Normally when we talk about which player's most likely to sexually hurt your wife. This game, Chris, is going to give us a clear indication, I think, of how the group's going to pan out as much as
well. Anything. It will. It's the second game of the group, isn't it?
More so than it simply being the second game of the group, it's the fact that you learn more about Napoli away than I think you do for PSG at home. Because given how the group's panned out already, if you take 3 points from this, that's the back of this group broken, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, if you win against Napoli, then you're going into that double header against Red Star, aren't you? And mm-hmm. you're in a really strong position. And, you know, you're hoping for first in the group rather than second. And I think Liverpool have got a great chance of first in the group, first and foremost. But also, it's still a good time to be playing Napoli away. I'd rather be playing them away from home now.
Yeah.
Than instead of the home leg,
yeah.
Because when they've had a few more games under Ancelotti, he's got his system across a little bit more, yeah, and stuff absolutely. Like that. So it's not too far to travel either. All told, would I swap a home leg for an away leg with City on the horizon? Probably would swap it,
mm-hmm.
but you've got to play what you've been dealt.
Oh yeah,
and at this point, I think it's a good draw.
That's it. It does make it in the face of things in the short term more difficult. But it's like anything, grouping this stuff together. Unfortunately, you just don't get to choose the fixture list, do you? And we've got ourselves in a situation here where, with the international break looming, you could go into the international break 3 points clear at the top of the Premier League and at least 3 points clear at the top of your Champions League group.
Mm.
Potentially more if PSG don't do the business against Red Star themselves, and when you're there, then we'll be able to judge this spell of this first chunk of the season, which I think is a much healthier way to judge it than, you know, we had that three games or whatever, didn't we, before, three or four games before the first international break. This is a good solid chunk of the season that we've just put under our belt, and if we can get to that sound, and that's why, you know, you're then looking at down the line and saying, well, yeah, as you say, you've got those Red Star games. They won't be easy, but they are on paper the easiest of the games. That's how seedings work.
You look at it as well, and you look at Paris Saint-Germain, and you look what they do in their league. I don't expect Paris Saint-Germain to drop points against Red Star. Ooh. I expect them to snot them, because they're used to snotting teams that are worse than them. Yeah. And that's maybe something you couldn't say about Liverpool over the last 5 to 10 years. In fact, yeah. You definitely couldn't say about Liverpool over the last 5 to 10 years. I expect them to wipe the floor with Napoli as well, to be honest with you. Yeah. Although I think the away leg will be more difficult. I would bank on Paris getting maximum points from every other game apart from the Liverpool fixtures. Yeah. And I would try and better that score.
Yeah, I think that's it. And look, we kind of said this on the build-up show, which will be on the YouTube channel, I guess, either now or shortly. The season doesn't end on, you know, Saturday night, Sunday or whatever. It's nothing's done and dusted. Nothing is decided. But all it means, because so we shouldn't be too downhearted or disappointed if things aren't going quite our way. But equally, we shouldn't be getting the names engraved on the trophies or whatever just yet, because there's so much stuff to go.
Oh,
but
shit,
all it is
a phone call to me.
Yeah, but there is
me engraver.
But there is so my personal engraver. But there is so much encouragement to take from it, and that's what we're playing for. We're playing for the right to sit proudly in a positive position in the competitions that we're in, and it means that, as I say, you've got Napoli away out the way, which is one of the two hardest games of the group. We've already said it's realistically the hardest group game, because we could be qualified by the time we get to PSG away. So that's why it's important in that regard, and Man City has its own importance, because you know that you don't go and bank on any points at the Etihad. Mm-hmm. Not saying you bank on 3 points at Anfield, but you've got your best chance of causing your nearest rivals the most damage in that game. So very, very exciting stuff, nevertheless. Do you think for this Napoli game that the friendly will have any bearing on this in any way, shape or form?
Yes and no. So I'm going to say...
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
It's on the fence a little bit. I think from a player's mentality perspective, absolutely, you're taking stuff away. Now, you can't take anything for granted, but you know that you've come up against those players before, maybe not in quite the same formation, because obviously they play 4-3-3, then they're expected to play 4-4-2. But I'd be in there going, wow, we were miles better than them and we'll prove it again. Yeah. And that's how I'm taking it in mentally. Other than that, no, because you've got to recognise that they are a different side now. You know, that was Ancelotti's probably fourth or fifth game in charge with that group of players. Yeah. And if it's anything like a Liverpool pre-season, it might have been the first time that those players have played together as well. So you can look back at it and you can remember it, and you can remember those individual matchups that you had. So Salah coming up against a left-back is still Salah coming up against a left-back in one-on-one situations. You remember what you've done to him that game.
Yeah.
And then you build from there in those individual matchups, but you've got to recognise that as a team, you've got to play it slightly differently.
Yeah, I think as all these things, it can work both ways. I mean, it's telling, I think it's about eighth of that team started, or at least figured heavily in that pre-season game, started the game against Juventus for them at the weekend. And all, I mean, obviously they've changed the keeper. They've got Ospina now in from Arsenal. But the likes of Koulibaly, Hamsik, Insigne were all involved in that game. And it's, are they looking to prove a point? Or moreover, it means they're not an unknown quantity, I guess, to our lads, which is an encouraging thing. I like a lot of their players. I would very much like them to be mentally broken before we got there. That would make things loads.
Yeah, it would be. Listen, they'll be hurting from the fact that they went a goal up against Juventus. Mm-hmm. They'll be hurting from the fact that they lost control of that game. They'll be hurting from the fact that Cristiano Ronaldo ripped them a new one. Mm-hmm. And I would expect Liverpool to try and really sort of focus on that right-hand side of the defence, the area where Cristiano Ronaldo worked so well, which is why I think Mane is going to be heavily involved in this game. We've seen in Champions League games, he seems to be the one, certainly towards the back end of the campaign last year, he was getting into those great positions. Yeah. I expect that that's going to happen again midweek against Napoli.
Yeah, the encouraging thing was, there's the goal that, I think Mandzukic scores two, does he, at the weekend? Yeah. The one where Ronaldo crosses it in for him from the left-hand side. That, I mean, Mandzukic is
how
a beast.
How do they not mark the guy who's clearly the header of the ball?
This is the point, and this is the encouraging thing, because I would be looking at Mandzukic in that situation thinking, well, they've got Koulibaly at the back and he's a monster as well, and it should be sound. But it's Mandzukic doesn't score that goal because he's 6'5". Yeah. He scores it just from movement, and let's be honest, he's slow as fuck.
And the
anyway.
Two centre-backs go with the other forward, and you're thinking, what are you doing? The key area for me is what Dybala was managing to do to the likes of Hamsik and stuff, you know, picking Hamsik's pockets. And it's not something, because it's a place that he doesn't normally play in. You know, that midfielder role, almost a quarterback role, he's not used to being pressured by centre-forwards. He's always been a little bit more advanced throughout the rest of his career, so he's still not quite sure how much time he's got on the ball. Yeah. And I see that as an area that Bobby Firmino can really exploit. And I know that, you know, they were playing more of a diamond with Dybala and the 10 and the two forwards and whatever, but with the way that Firmino drops, we're essentially going to be replicating that quite often. And that will be a battleground that I'll be really keen to see how it plays out.
Yeah, exciting stuff. We're going to crack on. We're going to talk a little bit ahead of Man City. We don't want to get too far ahead ourselves, of course, but we're going to be answering some of your questions as well, which is a beast. But I need to draw your attention to a wonderful thing that's on the RedmenTV.com. Recorded last Thursday with freelance journalist Andy Kelly, is the Newsroom podcast.
Harry Wilson lighting Old Trafford up. Really was a tremendous performance by Harry. What do you think the future holds for Harry Wilson?
I think it's really difficult because, you know, I've been excited by Harry Wilson for a number of years, and when I started following the 23s and indeed 18s when he was playing, you know, youth cup stuff, you know, his ability from set pieces was outstanding, and I don't know, wish I had a pound for every time I'd written that wand of a left foot in the Echo talking about Harry Wilson from you know, I remember an absolutely incredible free kick he scored in the last few minutes against Everton over at Chester one night, and you just knew he was going to put it in, and he has that ability. He's had a real up and down career so far, Harry, because obviously got capped ridiculously young by Wales, youngest ever, just to keep him out of the clutches of England, really, and then had some real problems with injuries, basically missed a year, had a bad loan spell at Crewe, and then obviously he had a superb loan last year, and he's doing the same for Derby.
Yeah, absolute belter. You can get that on theredmentv.com, and you can get all of the videos that we do. Obviously, we're best known for being The Red Men TV, but, you know, the podcasting side of thing has been given a massive push in the last 12 months. You can access all of the exclusive content in video form and in podcast form as well. So if you want to get it into your podcast app and you want to take us on the move with you, you can do that. Save your bandwidth. Download it on your Wi-Fi. Take it walkies, have it on the train, or you know what a commute is. One of the ways in which you commute. Car, for example.
Nice.
Bicycle.
Yep.
Hand glider.
Bus.
There you go. Better one. Yeah, get involved. It is free for the first month, so literally you can go involved. You can get involved. Try it all out. Try the back catalogue. We do an extended version of this podcast as well. The subscriber Q&A follows directly on from this, taking loads more of your questions from our exclusive Facebook subscribers group and from the Twitter as well. So yeah, you can get involved with that. It's just good. It's really good. And if you want more, do it. Do it right now. Chris, Manchester City. It's very hard not to look to the game with the weekend, and I'm upselling it. It's two big fixtures in a week, and it is. I love the European Cup. I do. I really, really do. You kind of said it at the back end of the build-up show. I think it was a bit black and white in how you stated, but for me, I wouldn't say it's as black and white as I don't care about one, but I care about the other. But the league title is so important to me. And it's such a, don't drop points against Man City. You know what I mean? It's such a big opportunity there for us. We're not going to get a better opportunity this season handed to us to open a gap up on Man City than Manchester City at home.
And that's it, isn't it? And, you know, for me personally, I believe that the league is what we should be focusing on this season. I've already said over the last few months that I believe Liverpool are better equipped to win a European Cup than the Premier League, and that's just the style of football that both we play and Manchester City play. If I had to pick one between winning the Premier League and winning the European Cup this season, it's a no-brainer for me. Mm-hmm. And that actually influences how I think about these fixtures.
Yeah.
I think you can go and probably change your team around a little bit and still get away with Napoli with a draw, and it's still being a very good result. The one that I'm not changing my team at all for is Manchester City, because that's the one that's so important. That's the one we can go 3 points ahead of them in the title challenge. That's the one where we saw Manchester City last year were the biggest points winners that have ever happened in the Premier League. To dethrone the best side the Premier League has ever seen, you need to be almost faultless.
Yeah.
And that comes down to those individual battles, exactly what you're saying there. And let's see mentally whether they're up for the fight, or mentally whether they got something from just being loads of points ahead of everybody last season. How do they feel like, or what do they feel like? How do they react when they're 3 points behind? Can they go and play their natural game? When they've got tough fixtures upcoming, are they going to be as good as they've been in the fixtures that they've just had previously? I want to put pressure on Manchester City. I would sacrifice the Napoli game if you told me I'm guaranteeing you 3 points the weekend.
You look at how their league title was constructed last season, and it's not to delegate what they did, because, you know, league titles are not decided on a game, but they absolutely smashed us off the park after Mane got sent off at the Etihad last season in the league, and that gave them a
springboard, and in that regard, it cut the legs off us a little bit at the time. I don't think it will be as night and day as that this time around, because as we saw with the Chelsea game, I think there's, you know, the really good teams in this league are very, very close to the to a very, very similar level. So I think this game will be closer than it's probably ever than it's ever been. But there is an opportunity there, as you say. Mentally, they walked out of the Etihad 10 feet tall, looking at a team that was supposed to be one of their rivals who they'd utterly demolished, and they didn't care for extenuating circumstances that we took from that game around the red card. There's an opportunity for us to do a very similar thing, as you say. They won't feel, if we beat them, Man City won't feel as though that's it, it's all done and dusted, it's all wrapped up. Of course they won't, but it starts to change the story too. And we've said this in the past, Liverpool are the league leaders, and everyone else is going to have to match what we're doing. And it makes, and all of a sudden, Man City, having put all that effort in, having won, you know, scored loads more goals than us this season already, same defensive record pretty much, you start to think, what's the point of us going that extra mile? What is the point of us winning that game 7-0 and pushing harder when it doesn't get us any closer to where we want to be? So no, I think it's vitally important in that regard. The difference is with these games, and why you're right in terms of it could be an option for us to preface the Premier League. Man City don't have to.
Yeah,
they probably should. They should probably preference the European Cup, because, you know, having lost the first game in Lyon doesn't mean their group is over, but it makes their group slightly more of a test than it would have been. But they've got the options that they've got. There's talk about De Bruyne being back for the game, which is a big thing, of course, but they can bring a Riyad Mahrez in there into any of those games and not see a significant drop off in their front three. And as much as we talked about this again on the build up, Sturridge and Shaqiri are starting to prove themselves very useful assets off the bench. I still wouldn't, you know, if Man City turned up at Anfield and they've rested Sterling and they've put Mahrez in, well, they just put a 20-goal-a-season forward. Yeah,
the Mahrez to Shaqiri thing tells you all you need to know about where these squads were in the summer.
Oh.
You know, we signed a lad who's been relegated with Stoke for £30 million, and they signed a lad who's a Premier League winner for about £40 million as their backup options. So we're not quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. We're moving in the right direction. You know, we spent about £148 million net or something last summer. But previously, and in Klopp's over the last 3 years, we're still only at about £20-30 million net, whereas they're at like £450 million net or something like that. So of course they're going to have a better squad than us, but do they have a better team at the weekend? Well, maybe not. That's what they're the questions that need answering.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? But that's the thinking around this, is that we will have to think about the two games slightly more than maybe they will have to. But equally, you know, as we saw last week, if you take your eyes off the prize for a single second, you can be punished. And that's a note of real encouragement, because as much as people are looking at Man City and they're looking at the league, they've lost a game this season. Liverpool haven't lost a game. We've both lost one. We've both lost a cup game, I should say. There's frailties in both sides. So neither side, which I think is more encouraging, sorry, from our perspective, looking at them, because there's meant to be frailties in Liverpool's side.
Yeah.
We scraped into fourth again. Yes, we got to the European Cup, but as you say, this is a team that's like indestructible and masses of riches and squad depth galore and all that kind of stuff. So yeah,
even the fact that, you know, at the start of the season, the fact that Liverpool were very, very close to being favourites for the title tells you everything you need to know about the job that Jurgen Klopp's doing. Yeah. Because when a team like Manchester City has walked the league in the fashion that they have, they should be miles better odds, worse odds than everybody else. So they should be massive favourites to win the Premier League, and they weren't, because people recognise the job that Jurgen Klopp's doing.
Well, that's it. You just look at what's happening at Man United at the moment. There's the team that finished second in the league, and we finished that season, and a lot of people, neutrals as it were, looked at Liverpool and went, it's too big a jump that. You know, and even a lot of fans as well, and it might yet prove to be a bit of a jump, but it's telling that how much we're going in the right direction is easier to identify, because you can look at how badly it's going at Man United to some extent. There's a team that were the closest to Man City in terms of points or whatever last season, and they've fallen off a cliff. The fact that we've been able to pick up in that regard, I think it shows how good it is, everything that we're constructing at the moment. We've got some questions. It's One of them pertains to the Man City game, so we'll kick it off with this one. Kevin De Bruyne is back in training and would probably play against us this weekend. Thoughts on that?
I'd be shocked if he played against us this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I would. I think he's just not had any football yet.
Yeah.
To throw him into this game, listen, he's one of the best players in the league, you know, maybe even the best player in the league. I'm sure Pep would have no qualms, but it's the fitness thing, and you know you need to be, and Pep knows his players need to be 100% on it. I can't imagine that Klopp would rush a player back, even if it was Mo Salah at this point, into this fixture. You would probably, I mean, the fact that Sturridge played against PSG will tell you that you're not rushing players back, are you? Because it's a long season. They'll need De Bruyne at points throughout this season. If he was to come back, maybe have a poor game, start on the wrong foot, it doesn't really help Manchester City. And they've also got the get-out clause if he doesn't play. This isn't our best side. Yeah. Wait until you get Kevin De Bruyne back, then we'll start steamrolling teams, and that's something you can do to G the lads up as well.
I think that's the smart thing. I have this real sneaking suspicion, because there's talk already, like, he always, you know, he's fit about his fitness and blah, blah, blah. I wouldn't be shocked to see him start in that game. That's got all the hallmarks, because of all the rumblings are coming out that he won't, even though he is back in training. You know, we've seen that level of misdirection. Alex Ferguson was king for that kind of stuff in the past. At least on the bench, I imagine he'd be there. If he starts, though, because I didn't realise this.
Get at him.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was Ped from Toffee TV was saying, like, he's not been for surgery. They've basically just given him rested. So, like, it's not like they've gone and corrected the problem, because that would have taken longer. And if that's the case,
they're worried.
You just want to...
They're worried,
you're
then.
You're just going... At him everywhere.
You do. But doesn't that tell you that Pep Guardiola's worried about Jürgen Klopp and Liverpool? Because they have got a squad that's good enough to win the Premier League with or without Kevin De Bruyne. Last season, without Kevin De Bruyne, they'd have walked the league exactly the same. But Liverpool have made such a jump and such an improvement, and Chelsea are on everyone's coattails as well, and they've made such a jump that Pep's thinking, maybe we can't have him out for 6 months this time around.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know what, maybe we need to rush Kevin De Bruyne back, and we'll see when we've got a full summer. We'll put him into surgery then, and he'll be back for next season. That's a, like, I'd be rubbing my hands together if I'm Jürgen Klopp, thinking they're scared of us this year. They weren't last year.
As with anything, I'd rather be playing Kevin De Bruyne, who hasn't played football in 6 weeks, than playing a Kevin De Bruyne who is 100% fully fit. So if he's going to be involved, you know, at any point during this season, he's going to be back to his absolute world-class best. If you're getting him at even fractional percentages off his top game, then that's an advantage as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, definitely. Devang Savla on Twitter says, which player do you want to see retiring at Liverpool from the current squad? Wait, on three. One, two, three. Milner.
Virgil van Dijk.
Ooh, Virgil.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Why not? You know, I mean, Milner, you're getting 3 years out of him. I think we're getting that anyway.
Okay.
I'm getting 10 out of Virgil.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's a really good shout. Graham Askew, Cod or Haddock?
Well. Strap in, boys and girls. If it's fish and chips, it's Haddock.
Okay. Why?
It's slightly flakier, slightly drier, doesn't mesh your batter up quite as much, and it's a little bit sweeter.
Okay.
Although, if you're serving it with something like a broad bean and pancetta salad with, like, you know, grilled lettuce or something like iceberg, something like that, maybe some quail's eggs, then I'd much prefer some cod. Genuine.
If only the Chelsea fans could see this now.
Genuine. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant. You just sprinkle a few quail's eggs on there.
Sprinkling quail's eggs? I just fucking...
No, I don't fucking know. Go ahead. What about some caviar for dipping?
Nah, I'm not into caviar.
I have no idea. Robert Hallard, a current Premier League 11 versus a retired Premier League 11. Who wins? We've constructed our...
Two separate
teams. Yeah, go on. Well, I went with your approach in the end. I was going to do it Liverpool, but we've gone with Premier League. Let me know, going back to front, let me hear your retired Premier League 11.
Schmeichel.
Yeah,
naturally. Gary Neville.
Yeah.
Rio Ferdinand.
Ooh.
Tony Adams. What are you doing? Rio, you've changed him.
Put Rio in. Yeah.
Okay. Ashley Cole.
Mm-hmm. Well...
Mate, he's in the MLS. He's retired. Claude Makélélé.
Sad.
Paul Scholes.
Yeah.
Steven Gerrard.
Yeah.
This is a 4-3-3.
I was going to say, what, 4-3-3.
And then, controversially, I have not got Giggsy in this side. I've put on Rhea as me left forward.
Okay.
Shearer is the centre forward.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve McManaman on the right hand side in the end I went with.
Interesting. So I went with a 3-4-3
okay.
formation. Like back, goalkeeper Schmeichel, obviously. Back three is Rio Ferdinand, Yap Stam, and Sammy Hippier.
Interesting.
Mm.
I'd have had Terry in there if he was retired, like,
if
by
he was
the way.
Retired, yeah. A midfield four of McManaman, Vieira, Gerrard, Giggs.
Yeah, I forgot all about
that. And then just off the, my front two of Shearer Henry is Eric Cantona.
Oh, mate, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
What was your current Premier League 11?
De Gea.
This 4-3-3
again? 4-3-3
again,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Walker.
Okay.
Van Dijk.
Mm-hmm.
Alderweireld.
Yeah.
Robbo.
Ooh, I went almost exactly the same as that. I went Azpilicueta, Alderweireld, Van Dijk, Robbo.
Kante, De Bruyne, Silva.
Yep, same.
Salah, Aguero, Hazard.
No, Kane.
Okay.
Oh, I went Salah, Kane, Hazard. I think the retired 11 absolutely dicks the current 11. But this is the problem with these questions, is, like, Silva's the only player in those who's close to being retired, and therefore, you know, you can judge the full body of his work, so to speak. I have no doubt that Kante will be considered, you know, again, when he's done, having won the league title with two different clubs, etc., etc., probably three by the time he's done, he will be mentioned in the same breath as Vieira's and Gerrard and Keane's and Makélélé's, etc. Kane, same, but all at the minute, until all these are done, and you can rack up the trophies and stack them side by side. Yeah, it's not possible. Right, we're going to be answering more questions over on the subscriber Q&A, which include, this is a real good one from Charles Frost, who's one of our website subscribers. You've just created your own team in the Premier League. As you have no players, the FA have generously allowed you to take a starting 11 using players from every team in the league under the following conditions. You can pick a maximum of two players per team. Players cannot be a part of the current team's starting 11. Where do you think your team can realistically finish? Bells are of a question. What's our favourite type of pies? What, where you put cups in the cupboard? Because, yeah.
These are the important questions. It's not about Brexit this week.
Nothing about Brexit.
More about, like, which way you're putting your cups in the cupboard.
Whether Liverpool will hamper the development of youth players moving forward, which is actually a really interesting,
that sounds dead boring.
Really interesting topic. And what we would do if aliens took over Anfield. If that's not enough to get you over to the redmentv.com, I don't know what is. If you're into the sort of mad stuff, this will be the 11th one of these subscriber Q&As, and we have often issue with, obviously, a lot of the content, it goes week in,
this
week
is evergreen
out. This is evergreen shit.
These are the questions that really matter.
These are the burning questions, and so burning that I want to get stuck into it right now. So thanks very much for listening and for watching. If you can give this podcast a rating, do it to the maximum of 5 stars, that would be tremendous. Thoughts in comments, tweet us anything you want to discuss us at the Redmen TV, and of course go and sign up to the redmentv.com. Walk on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.